I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
The entire world has been gripped by sounds and images of children torn from their parents' arms at the Mexican-American border by the Trump administration's immigration policy. And the whole world has grappled with the same question. What can I do? In Lexington, Virginia, a local restaurant owner set off a firestorm when she declined to serve White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her party out of a sense of moral obligation. Is this a lesson in effective political micro-resistance? Or, as some people call it, simple harassment? It's June 26th. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story: When the Resistance Gets Personal.
Many by now have heard that I was asked to leave a restaurant this weekend where I attempted to have dinner with my family.
Red Hen is a very small restaurant in Lexington, Virginia. It's a farm and table, kind of a shishi place.
Rachel Giza is a columnist for Chatelaine, an editor-at-large, an author, and has been an incisive voice on resistance to the Trump administration since his election.
The owner was not there, but the staff alerted her and said, listen, Sarah Sanders is here. And the owner came to the restaurant and, you know, according to her account, which has not been disputed, she took Sarah Sanders aside, took her out quietly and said, listen, I oppose the policies of the administration that you stand up and defend. I'd like you to leave.
My husband and I politely left and went home.
And she covered all the costs that the party had incurred. So she said, listen, I'll cover your bill. You know, Sarah Sanders was not humiliated. She was not physically assaulted in any kind of way. She was asked to leave.
Because I work for President Trump.
One of the servers at the restaurant went onto Facebook and said, you know, listen, Sarah Sanders was at my restaurant and she was kicked out. This just exploded.
Some have chosen to push hate and vandalism against the restaurant that I was asked to leave from. A Hollywood actor publicly encouraged people to kidnap my children.
All kinds of Republicans went bananas about it. People were, you know, jumping on Yelp on both sides of the divide. Her father, Mike Huckabee, has called this bigotry. And of course, U.S. President Donald Trump has used his own Twitter platform to decry this restaurant and say this is, you know, terrible behavior.
And when you heard about it on Saturday or Friday night, what was your instant gut reaction?
You know, I think it's interesting to see how people are trying to address this moment. I think that the events of the last couple of weeks at the U.S.-Mexico border, with families being separated and children being thrown into custody, I think now there are over 2,000 children who've been separated from their families, some of them babies, that are being taken into tender care facilities. I mean, this is an enormous crisis. This is a monstrous policy that has not been thought out in any kind of way. A 15-year-old boy just walked away from one of these facilities. He's gone. No one knows where he is. And so I think to me, this was a case of somebody saying, I simply cannot stomach this. The owner was responding to, you know, both the most recent decisions of the previous week of the administration, but also she has a number of LGBTQ people on staff. And she was also responding to
President Trump's sudden and sweeping ban using Twitter, tweeting he will ban transgender people from serving in the military in any capacity.
You also have someone who is, she has her own constituency as a business owner. You know, you could say protesting, agitating in a restaurant is offensive and uncivil. I think it's a bit of a red herring kind of argument. I think that when the president is not willing to actually give, press conferences, when he's not willing to talk to journalists, when he's only willing to engage with the public at rallies, people have to speak their mind in the way that they can.
And you mentioned a number of LGBTQ folks who worked at this restaurant, which is another reason that I wanted to talk to you, because earlier that month,
Justice Anthony Kennedy coming down in favor of a baker in Colorado
who refused to bake a cake to celebrate the marriage of a same-sex couple because of his own religious objection.
You know, obviously, I think when it comes to the free speech debate, lots of people have their own hypocrisies around it. So lots of people want to protect their own speech, but not other people's speech. And it can be very difficult to respect the speech of people who you disagree with. However, one of the things that makes me crazy on the free speech argument, which is what in part the Supreme Court decision in the U.S. turned on, is, of course, free speech is not absolute. Even in the U.S., where there's much more latitude for free speech, you can't, for instance, utter a threat against the president, for instance. That is not protected free speech. And free speech laws really only exist to protect people from being punished by a government for speaking what's on their mind.
Right.
So free speech doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want. And that speech is always protected. You may have consequences for saying what's on your mind. So if you are a comedian who says something terribly offensive, you might not get booked at a venue because people think that what you're saying is racist or homophobic.
Yeah.
You can say what you want, but it doesn't mean that there won't be consequences. All it means is that the government can't throw you in jail for those opinions. So when it came to the case around this cake, you saw a lot of conservatives saying, well, these business owners, they have the right to refuse to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. They have the right of free speech. They shouldn't be compelled to celebrate something they disagree with. And the very same people are now mad at the owner of the Red Hen for her, you know, turning away Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But there's a very important distinction here. LGBT people as a group are a protected class of people. You know, we are a group of people who have historically been discriminated against. There are hate crimes that are acted out against us because of who we are. We are an identifiable minority group. The press secretary of the United States, of the president of the United States, is not a protected class of person. So I think that the two cases aren't comparable. I think that, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders does not have a right to service wherever she goes as a protected person for speaking out.
Right. I'm going to read you, this is the statement from mm-hmm. the owner of the Red Hen, who said, "I'm not a huge fan of confrontation. I have a business and I want the business to thrive. But this feels like the moment in our democracy when people have to make uncomfortable actions and decisions to uphold their morals."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a fair argument to be made. And I think, again, no one is saying that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was embarrassed or humiliated. I mean, she has chosen to make a big deal about it. You know, should Sarah Huckabee Sanders be, you know, entitled to, you know, eat a meal in peace with her family? I'd say that I'm not as interested in that question as I am in should children be separated from their parents at the border and put into a system that does not have enough beds or caregivers to look after them.
Well, then let's talk about resistance to mm-hmm. those policies, because one of the interesting things I found over the sort of year and a half people have been resisting Donald Trump is that it's gone from, in the beginning, a ton of mass public protests where you wrote about the Women's March mm-hmm. last year. You've written about a lot of these protests. Now what we're seeing is sort of social media driven, intimate, individual acts.
Yeah.
What are the differences there? And in your mind, which is more effective? Are either of them having an effect?
I mean, I don't think that what the Red Hen owner did will have any impact on the Trump administration's decisions. I don't think all of a sudden, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to have a come to Jesus moment because she couldn't get a nice meal at a Tony restaurant in Virginia. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think the point of, I mean, I can't speak for the owner, mm-hmm. but I think the point of actions like this is to signal to other people that enough is enough.
What about the 2016 presidential campaign? When first Michelle Obama and then Hillary Clinton said,
"No, our motto is when they go low, we go high.
When they go low, we go high."
Basically saying to Democrats, be the better person. How is that holding up now?
I think that there are lies happening that we need to challenge constantly. I think when, you know, Melania Trump wears a jacket that says, I really don't care, don't you, or whatever the line was in the back of her jacket when she's going to visit children in these detention centers. I mean, that's uncivil. That's disgusting. That's awful. You know, judging from the behavior of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's a smart and capable woman. She's clearly very good at what she does. Like, I think she is very good. I think she's excellent at her job. If she is going to stand in front of roomfuls of journalists and lie to them and to defend the administration.
You said on March 7th, there was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations. Were you lying to us at the time, or were you in the dark?
The president has denied and continues to deny the underlying claim And again, I've given the best information I had at the time.
Is it surprising when she is quietly asked by somebody who opposes what she stands for to leave a restaurant? And again, let's be clear, she was not manhandled in any kind of way. She was not humiliated in any kind of way. What do we mean when we say going high?
What if these catch on? You said the Trump administration doesn't care. What if this keeps happening and keeps happening, and, mm-hmm. and people are galvanized to sort of shun mm-hmm. these people who work for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Does that change anything?
I don't think that, you know, kicking people out of a restaurant or telling them they can't be at a restaurant is going to change the administration, but I think it may embolden other people who are in positions. They own small businesses or they own hotels, or they may say, I mean, to push back. And I think it may also then force bigger businesses to decide, you know, we're not going to, we don't want to be a city that hosts a particular, you know, a Republican convention, say, or we're not going to cater an event run for a Republican candidate who is, who doesn't share our values or who acts in ways that we find reprehensible.
If enough people do it,
mm-hmm.
is there a tipping point when, if the city of Indianapolis says you're not hosting your convention here, and mm-hmm. and so does Boston, and so does New York, is there a tipping point where people start to reexamine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a political organizer in that way. So, you know, in terms of speaking to the strategy, but I think what it does is it signals to like-minded people who feel outraged and hopeless and helpless to push back when they're hearing the screams of kids being taken from their parents, and they're thinking, oh my God, what can I do? I think what's actually going to change that is going to be, you know, the ACLU lawyers and others, and the, you know, the considerable organizing that already existed in support groups for migrant workers, for migrants crossing the border, for immigrants' rights groups. I mean, there's already an infrastructure and network of organizations who are pushing back against these sorts of policies. I think what's going to change is those groups getting more power, more funding, more support, more of a platform to push back. I don't think this woman saying, you know, Sarah Sanders can't have a meal there is going to, you know, like move the dial at all on that. I think it's actually going to be, you know, the proper politics as we know them, like whether that's activism or electoral politics. However, I think that it will perhaps kind of bear witness, I think, to what's going on. I think it's easy for folks to become numb to the horrors that are happening right now. And I think to sort of see someone stand back, to push back, to say, no, I will not do this. I cannot in good conscience serve this woman, you know, a chicken dinner and smile happily and treat her like everything is just fine. And I think that that's a position that a lot of people are in right now. How can I go on in a daily kind of way, in a normal kind of way, when these horrific things are happening? So I think that's what a micro resistance like that does. I think it signals to other people that they can push back as well, that they can do something as well. But I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to change things in a big way, but I think it can maybe help other people feel like it's time to speak out, or that this is not normal. This is not okay.
I will take any kind of happy ending I can get at this point.
Was that happy? I hope that was happy. I mean, I hope that was, you know, I think it's important that, you know, if we were talking about free speech, if it's about people being able to speak to what they feel is important, then I think this is that kind of free speech in action.
Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you.
That was The Big Story. We'll leave you now with perhaps the most famous words on the internet when it comes to freedom of speech. From webcomic XKCD, we'll put it up on our social media for you to take a look. Read by our intrepid research assistant, Stephanie Phillips.
This is a public service announcement. The right to free speech means the government can't arrest you for what you say. It doesn't mean that anyone else has to listen to your bullshit or host you while you share it. The First Amendment doesn't shield you from criticism or consequences. If you're yelled at, boycotted, have your show canceled, or get banned from an internet community, your free speech rights aren't being violated. It's just that the people listening think you're an asshole, and they're showing you the door.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.